Dudes, did you know that your chance of winning on draft are 80% better than on salary cap sites? That's why draft is amazing. No more getting crushed by the pros. It's not just me. More than a million people have already downloaded Draft 2. You're playing in a real live NBA or NFL draft right now. You get done under 5 minutes. You get paid out the next day. Most of you guys that have tried it have reached out and told me how much you like it, which is awesome. What the key is that if you use the promo code Ross3, you get to play in a real money draft for free. Again, just use the promo code Ross3 for a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit. Plus, they're giving you guys a money-back guarantee up to $100. That's how confident they are that you'll like it. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play free right now with promo code Ross3.
It's the Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
Yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It is a Monster Monday presented by SeatGeek. You guys know the deal. There's going to be some college bowl games coming up. There's still some college games left. Plus, you got the NFL crunch time. And frankly, some teams are already out of it. You can get very inexpensive tickets. Just make sure you download the SeatGeek app and put the promo code Ross in to get $20 off. It's a new week, which means a new spread the word winner via social media. Just a retweet of our Twitter or Facebook like. It's really easy. Sponsor confirmation email winner as well. Just take advantage of any of our sponsors and forward me the email ross@rostucker.com. It is a Monday, and as mentioned, I have a few new codes to give away for Madden. Today's winner, that was like my fake drum roll right there, Bri.
What in the world was that?
I was going to say, did that sound like, in my head, that sounded like a drum roll. No?
No. I don't know
why. You don't have like a drum roll sounder thing.
I don't even know what that sounds like. I can't even have a comeback for that because I don't even know what that sounds like.
Yeah, you often don't have a comeback. But anyway, Brandon Ramirez is the winner. Brandon, congratulations. I will send you a code or a hard copy, my friend. This week, by the way, very simple this week. You have to enter, just buy something at Amazon using our banner ad or go to amazon.com/shop/RossTuckerNFL. That is my influencer page, or you can just make an order through the banner ad over at rostucker.com. It takes you to a landing page, and then that way they track you that you came from Ross Tucker. So you're going to be buying a lot of stuff this week and Black Friday and Friday. Anyway, when you take advantage of that stuff, just send it to me. Again, ross@rostucker.com. Congratulations, Brandon. Make sure you tell me whether you need Xbox or PS4. That's very important. Let's roll, Bri.
The Big Show.
All right. Week 11 now in the books. Our season is flying at this point. Ross, your biggest takeaways from yesterday?
I would say three, probably. Three that really stand out to me. Number one, the Buffalo quarterback decision and just how much I didn't like it last week. I tried to understand it, but obviously after the result, it seems even worse. And I think now, and I like Sean McDermott, just didn't agree with the decision. Now I just think he's got to worry about losing the locker room and guys kind of tuning him out because he didn't give his team a chance to win yesterday. And as a head coach, you make a decision that doesn't give your team a chance to win when they are in the sixth seed in the AFC playoffs, it's bad. Really, really bad. But hey, he's a big boy. He made it. Kansas City Chiefs, awful loss. We'll get to it. That stands out to me. I would also say on the flip side of that, that huge win for the Saints. Both those games are overtime games, but that Saints-Redskins game was a gigantic swing game for both those teams. Gigantic. I mean, if the Redskins won that one, look at the rest of their schedule. I mean, they'd be a legitimate playoff contender in the NFC. Going to be a lot tougher now, now they lost that game yesterday. And that was a huge swing for them. And for the Saints, you know, they want to buy. They're competing with the Rams, the Vikings, the Eagles. They want to buy. They want home field. So that was a gigantic win. And speaking of buys and home field, just watching Tom Brady, you know, I was in the Green Bay airport, then the Detroit airport, watching him. It is just, I think I tweeted this morning at Ross Tucker NFL that NFL fans should file a class action lawsuit against the Patriots, Tom Brady, the NFL for letting a cyborg mutant or mutant cyborg, as the case may be a quarterback in the NFL this long. It's just the guy is like a robot. And then you got Carson Wentz, who didn't even play that great for the first half. And then the second half, there was like a seven-minute period there, Bri. He made like five or six just ridiculous plays. Ridiculous. I mean, it was just really, really impressive. But not as impressive as Omaha Steaks and the ridiculous amount of food that they give you for only $49.99. When you go to omahasteaks.com and enter my code Ross in the search bar, I get every package they have, like the Father's Day package, the holiday package, I get one absolutely delicious and a legitimate obscene amount of food. I mean, you know, most of the stuff is stuff that my daughters don't eat yet. So just for my wife and I mean, it takes weeks for us to eat all this. Two filet mignons, two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four kielbasa sausages, four burgers, four potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tartlets, Omaha steak seasoning packet, and they're throwing in four additional kielbasa for $49.99. That's a legit 75% savings. Just go to omahasteaks.com. Make sure you put Ross in the search bar so that you get this ridiculous deal. Why not? What a gift to give somebody, too. Or why not just get it for yourself? That's what you could have the whole month of December.
Tuck Steaks.
All right, well, let's break down each game one by one. Let's start off with Tampa Bay and Miami. Jay Cutler, three first-half interceptions and a concussion. So Matt Moore comes in. He has a game-tying touchdown with 3 minutes left. But the Bucs were able to get two more scores and beat the Dolphins 30-20.
I thought Matt Moore played better than Cutler had. Cutler obviously had the three picks before the concussion. I got to think Cutler's probably second-guessing his decision to come back. On the one hand, you know, you want to live life with no regrets, and he wanted to take one more shot at it. And certainly Fox wasn't going to pay him $10 million, so he's making a lot more than he would in the broadcast booth. But he's gotten beat up pretty well. I don't know that I'd even say his reputation has taken a hit. He didn't have that great of a reputation before this season, but it's been bad. I thought Matt Moore was solid in relief. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, now they were helped because the Dolphins turned the ball over five times. I mean, the turnover margin was plus five for the Bucs in this game, but they couldn't really run it. I mean, the people that did show up was the Dolphins' run defense because the Bucs really couldn't run it. So Fitzpatrick had to make some plays. Mike Evans was able to make a few of them after coming off his suspension. And the Bucs, don't look now, have actually won two football games in a row. They're trying to save Dirk Cutter's job, I guess.
Tuck Steaks.
Matt Prater nailed a 52-yard field goal to give the Lions a three-point lead with a minute 40 left in Chicago. And then Chicago drives down the field. Bears kicker Connor Barth missed a 46-yarder. So Detroit hangs on for a 27-24 win.
Right. And you know, Bri, this kind of goes back to my philosophy, right, which is I'm not putting it all on the kicker. There were a lot of plays in that game, and it's a very important position, we all know. But it just seems counterintuitive to me that you'd have these guys running, hitting each other, getting all beat up, and at the end of the game, two guys kick a ball through uprights, the one guy makes a further kick than the other guy. I mean, the one guy drills like a 50-whatever yarder. The other guy misses shanks a 46-yarder. I mean, I don't know. I will say this. I thought it was a real positive, Bri, that Mitch Trubisky got the Bears in position. I mean, he's still not where they want him to be yet, but the scramble, the throw, I mean, to get them in that position for the game-tying field goal, thought that was a really good sign for the Bears and for Trubisky. They just can't have some of the mistakes they make. I mean, like that fumbled snap that DJ Hayden picked up for the Lions' seventh defensive touchdown this year already. I mean, they've only played 10 games. It's ridiculous. They should actually have even a better record than 6-4 if you think about it. You can't make those mistakes, but good job for Hayden being there. Matthew Stafford carries the Lions offensively again. And Jordan Howard. I mean, Jordan Howard, another big game for the Bears. It has not been his fault. I think that's like his fifth 100-yard game. He has delivered most of the time this season. He's impressive.
Tux takes.
Cleveland Browns have started 0-10 for the second straight season. They fall yesterday to Jacksonville 19-7.
That's remarkable. 0-10 for the second straight season. I mean, that is remarkable. And it's another game, Bri, kind of like the Detroit game, where the Lions, or the Browns in this case, can't get both units to play decently the same day. Last week, the offense played well. Defense did not. This week, the defense played well, especially Myles Garrett. You know, a bunch of three and outs for the Jags, made them punt a bunch, but more bad than good for Kaiser, which was probably expected and not altogether surprising going against that Jaguars defense. You know, you kind of thought that it'd be a struggle offensively for the Browns. And Fournette, who has said that the ankle issue will probably affect him all year, did have a solid 111 yards. I mean, that score, 19-7, that's like heaven for Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone. I mean, that's what they want the score to be. I think that's who they think that they are. And really it is, because Bortles wasn't great yesterday. That's who they need to be.
Let's get some deeper insight. It's time for the Russ Report.
Baltimore Ravens shut out the Packers 23-0. That's the Ravens' third shutout this season.
Yeah, they did. That's amazing, by the way. Third shutout on the season already. And then you go, let's start with the food, though. You know, it's just, Bri, it's really impressive. I mean, there's just... Hopefully you guys follow me on Instagram at Ross Tucker NFL, so you see the videos. But and every once in a while I'll post something on Twitter too, a picture on video too, a video on Twitter too, I should say. But number one, it's the best salad bar in the NFL. I love the eggs that they have with the salad bar. Multiple different types of lettuce, several different options in terms of dressing, and it's just really well done. Really well done. Then in terms of the entrees, they had lasagna. I did not go there, but it looked delicious. Garlic bread first, Bri, and then lasagna. Then they had pack and cheese. Love it. Mac and cheese with, they just call it pack and cheese. It's just mac and cheese with a little bit of some crumbles on it. And then sliced ham and an omelet station. That's what they had pregame, Bri. So the omelet station, there's typically a line. And I just, if they have other good stuff, like sliced ham and pack and cheese, I'm not going to wait in the omelet station line. It's just not important enough to me. Plus, I'm a sucker for sliced ham. Bri, do you like sliced ham?
I do, yeah. I'll eat sliced ham.
See, I love sliced ham. My wife's grandmother always has ham for like the holidays. She calls her Oma, German. She gets these big baked hams, and they're so good, so delicious. So what I do is I put a decent amount of pack and cheese on my plate and then just stockpiled sliced ham on top of it. So with every bite of ham, I'm also getting a little bit of that cheesy flavor. Oh, so good. So good. And then after that, I got a salad just to like get some greens in me and feel like I was healthy. Halftime, they always have Coke Zero. They always have those, incredibly soft peanut butter cookies that melt in your mouth and are so good. And then I had two brats at halftime. There was a little bit of a controversy, Bri. I mean, this could have been controversy, not Vershi. Vershi? Controversy, Bri? You know, it could have been an A-plus performance again. It really could have been. But when I talked to Kenzie, who's my main on-site contact in food services at Lambeau, they no longer had any of the Johnsonville mustard to come out. So they had no spicy or varieties of mustard. It was just plain yellow Heinz mustard, which, as you know, Bri, is unacceptable ever, especially with a brat. So I went with, I had two brats at halftime. I cut them up, and they have this special stadium sauce, which is kind of like a barbecue sauce. It's pretty good. So I went with that. But I got to tell you, Bri, it would have been an A-plus just for the variety and all the different options. I got to knock them back down for an A for not having other mustards. Do you think that's fair?
Personally, I could do without the mustard, as you know, so I wouldn't knock them off for that at all. For what they have, for what I've seen in the past, and for what you're describing, I'd still give it an A-plus.
Yeah, you're
right. But I wasn't there, so I can't say that.
Yeah, you're wrong. You're wrong. So it was not good enough. You need to have other mustards. We're in Wisconsin, for goodness sakes. There needs to be some other brands of mustard there. Unbelievable. So, look, I'm not complaining, by the way. I loved every part of it. I'm just evaluating. I'm grading, and they need to get downgraded for that. That's fair. They get an A. You didn't tell me about the food in Chicago, Bri.
All right. So, first of all, I think this goes without saying. I have to say this at least once a year, that as we're given these rankings or reviews of the Press Box food, I don't want to sound spoiled. I don't want to sound, I don't know what the word is, but ungrateful. Because
right, no, I'm glad you're saying that, because like, we're never complaining, we're never spoiled, we're never ungrateful. We're just evaluating and seeing the performance that the organization's put forth.
Yeah, because there are, depending on what stadium you're at, 50, 70, 80,000, not 80,000, 70,000 people in the stands who are paying to get in there and paying to eat food and watch.
Paying a crazy amount for the food, by the way.
And we are the exact opposite. And there's probably less than 500, maybe 1,000 people total who are actually being paid to go to the game and who are getting fed. So having said that, we take this all with a grain of salt.
You're about to kill him. This is exciting. I mean, that was a lot of buildup, right? You're about to destroy the Chicago Bears organization. I'm like excited right now.
No, I have nothing against the Chicago Bears organization at all. But
It is. It's a reflection on the organization. It is.
Okay. So at Soldier Field, we got to walk all the way across the other end of the stadium, for where the broadcast booths are, to where the main press box is.
Yeah, that's a negative, but
no, they can't help
the broadcast
that.
Booth location is excellent.
Yeah, but they can't help that, and that's fine. So you go up there, we walk, it takes about 20 minutes to walk up there. They've got four little serving trays. They had some Belgian waffles, which were like rubber. They had your traditional scrambled eggs, and then another little dish with bacon and sausage. It was fine. Oh, yeah, a little thing of fruit also. It was fine. Nothing to write home about. Nothing like the massive salad bar that you were experiencing. And for me, I'm not that much of a breakfast guy. So to sit there and see one big tray full of scrambled eggs, yeah, it's okay. Nothing to write home about.
C minus or D plus, Bri?
It wasn't bad. I mean, like I said, the waffles were like rubber. I'd go C. What's average? Average is C. I'm going to go C. But okay. Very thankful that they're taking care of us.
Yeah. Well, look, it's Thanksgiving week, Bri.
There you go.
It's a good time to be thankful. Well, look, let's get back to the game. Packers-Ravens. Love the build-up for that, by the way, Bri. The game was really very simple. Brett Hundley was overmatched, and really the entire Packers front, I would say, the entire Packers team, because at times, especially Jason Spriggs just got overwhelmed. I think it was like, I know it was 5 turnovers, 6 sacks. In fact, you know, it's funny because with DraftKings, Bri, we always have the player of the game. You know, every Monday we have a player of the game for DraftKings. And I'm just telling you right now, the player of the game for DraftKings, it was the defense. I mean, it was the defense. Think about those numbers I just told you. 5 turnovers, 6 sacks. For $3,400, the Ravens defense on DraftKings got you 26 points. 26 points. So pretty clearly the player of the game was really the players of the game. Now, I think Brett Hundley helped that. But anyway, that's the deal. Speaking of DraftKings, Thanksgiving is this week. No better combo than turkey and football. Unless your football season isn't quite going that well and your family won't let you hear the end of it, especially your fantasy football season. That's why you love DraftKings. How about this? How about what they got this week? Get to DraftKings.com now and use code Ross Tucker to take advantage of this exclusive Thanksgiving offer. Now through Thursday, DraftKings will instantly match your first deposit free up to $10. Now that's something to be thankful for. Promo code is Ross Tucker to get up to $10 free. Free money, $10. DraftKings, the game inside the game. Minimum $5 deposit required. Deposit match issued in DraftKings credit. Eligible restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. The details of the game, Bri, you know, Hundley actually makes some good throws and some decent plays at times. You know, he ran for a few first downs, which is probably the best thing he did, but some awful interceptions. I mean, Jimmy Smith totally fooled him in the red zone, and he got picked. I mean, he just got fooled. His second interception, he was just trying to do way, way too much. And through a pick that Eric Weddle picked off. I mean, the Ravens, off of all those turnovers, even after the fumble, they still only had 3 points off those 3 turnovers. Joe Flacco made a really poor decision and was picked off by Clinton Dix. But then, I mean, Ravens special teams, they started to get good returns from Michael Campagnaro and Chris Moore. And then Hundley started taking sacks that were driving me crazy. Driving me crazy. He took 2 sacks on fourth down, Bri. 2 sacks on fourth down. Willie Henry had a big day for the Ravens. Matthew Judon. And then Terrell Suggs just closed it out. He strips Hundley for a huge fumble. Then he beats Briggs inside, you know, for a sack on fourth down. Hundley finally threw his third pick, which led to an Alex Collins touchdown. Where, by the way, the Ravens probably should have just taken a knee at that point. But at any rate, Brett Hundley is he's going to be in danger of not having a job after this season. Because now you have to wonder, is he a guy that even won as your backup? Not real good, Bri.
Ducks takes.
Deontay Foreman had 2 fourth-quarter touchdowns before being carted off the field with an ankle injury. And that helped the Texans snap a 3-game skid with a 31-21 win over the Cardinals.
Yeah, it looks like he's torn his Achilles, which is awful, awful. There's a lot of that going on. I feel like there's more torn Achilles than ever before. Tom Savage was better. Maybe his best performance. So, okay, he was better. All right, Tommy. Blaine Gabbert did some really good things, including Ricky Seals-Jones and Fitzgerald till the end of the game, already a couple picks. Houston, I thought the biggest difference in the game was Houston ran the ball pretty well. Especially Foreman until that injury, but Lamar Miller also, and the Cardinals could not at all. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney had a big day. Bernardrick McKinney was all over him. They were getting sacks and pressure on Gabbert. I mean, that it's, you know, it, when there's a football game and one team can really run the ball effectively and the other team don't, other team can't, it's going to be very tough for the team that can't run to win it. It just is. Because then your play action is not as big a deal, whereas the other team's play action does work. You know, it really makes it hard.
Ducks takes.
The Los Angeles Rams lost their first game since week 5. Vikings, now 8-2. They've won 6 straight. The final there, 24-7.
Vikings were just better up front, both sides of the ball. I mean, it shows if you look at the rushing numbers. Gurley was not able to do very much for the Vikings. Latavius Murray had a good day, a couple touchdowns. You know, they just, the Vikings, this is what a guy like Mike Zimmer loves, and I know it. His team won the battle of the trenches. They were better up front on both sides of the ball. Plus, they have a legit stud now in Adam Thielen. Like, it's past the, oh, he went to a small school in Minnesota. He's a pretty good player. No. He's a star. He's a star in the NFL. I mean, he might be a first-team all-pro wide receiver the way he's playing. The Rams really couldn't get anything going after their fast start, and the Cooper Kupp fumble really hurt the Rams. Can you tell? One back-to-back nights of like less than 5 hours sleep, less than 4 maybe. Rams cornerback injuries didn't really help either, trying to cover Thielen.
Tuck takes.
With 3 minutes left and down by 15, Drew Brees completes his final 11 passes to send the game to overtime, and Will Lutz wins it for the Saints with a 28-yard field goal, 34-31. And Ross, this was the biggest comeback since the Super Bowl. Saints over the Redskins. Yeah.
Interesting. It was also, Bri, the game of the day.
The game of the day.
Incredible. Incredible comeback by the Saints. And really, if you're the Redskins, what a golden opportunity that they let slip. I mean, they were good. The Skins' defense was good until late when Brees just absolutely picked them apart. It was like he was so locked in, and the Redskins totally ran out of gas. It's a really, really tough loss for the Redskins because Kirk Cousins was so good throughout against a really pretty darn good Saints defense, although there was no A.J. Klein and Okafor got hurt. Sounds like he's got a torn Achilles. Lattimore got hurt. But still, I mean, they were so – Cousins was impressive. The Chris Thompson injury – really hurts the Redskins. He's such a big part of what they do. But to go to down there, New Orleans, score 31 points, it's pretty impressive. Samaje Perine had a nice day, but they could not seal the deal. And that win, just wait till week 17, and we'll be talking about how big that win was for the Saints.
Tuck takes.
New York Giants get their second win of the season in overtime. They knock off the Chiefs 12-9. I don't think anybody saw this one coming.
No, nobody. And I'll give Ben McAdoo some credit and really the entire Giants defense. They came to play. You know, that was like last year's Giants defense. Those guys absolutely came to play. And the Chiefs offense, pathetic and trending the wrong way. I mean, I don't care how much the Giants come to play. You got to be better than that. Turning the ball over. Travis Kelce, that was a very, very poor decision by Andy Reid in that wind. And hurt Andy Reid's stats coming off a bye. 12-9. Not a touchdown in the game.
Tuck takes.
5 interceptions in the first half for the Chargers. They easily beat the Bills 54-24. The Nathan Peterman experiment ended early.
Right, we'll see what they do at quarterback this week. I mean, the thing is they're still tied with the Ravens for the final wild card spot. But the way this defense is playing right now, I mean, that's the thing. You know, Peterman will get all the attention because of the 5 picks in the first half, which he should, but the Bills' defense was not good again. And this time it was primarily Keenan Allen who was killing them. The Bills made it look okay in the second half with Tyrod Taylor coming back in and LeSean McCoy getting decent numbers, but that all felt like garbage time at that point. It really did, which evidently, by the way, is very important in Buffalo and to Sean McDermott based on what he did with Nathan Peterman putting him in there after the garbage time touchdown against the Saints. What can you say other than the guy wasn't ready and shouldn't have been out there? Didn't give the team a chance to win, and it's a shame. I mean, they probably would have lost anyway, you know, if we're being honest, but Tyrod Taylor would have at least given them a chance to win the football game.
Tuck's Takes.
The Cincinnati Bengals get their first win in Denver since 1975. How about that? Three touchdown passes from Andy Dalton, the final, 2017.
I should have mentioned, by the way, Bri, Joey Bosa was so good again for the Chargers. That guy's automatic. He's like the Antonio Brown of pass rushing at this point. Every week, he just produces. As for the Bengals and the Broncos, the Broncos' defense was better than they've been the last couple weeks. I mean, the Broncos' defense did the job. It was the turnovers on offense. That Dre Kirkpatrick pick. Now, if you look at the score, the Dre Kirkpatrick pick in the end zone that he returned to the 1 yard line or whatever, that was the difference in the game. I mean, that ended up being the difference in the football game. Huge. And the Vontez perfect fumble as Brock Osweiler took a pretty significant step back. And the way the Broncos are playing and how bad they look at home, I got to think there's going to be some fallout. At a minimum, I got to think Mike McCoy would get fired. And maybe Vance Joseph, too. John Elway doesn't stand for this stuff very long.
Tuck's Takes.
Down in Mexico City, the Patriots knock off the Raiders 33-8, 339 yards passing from the GOAT.
It's unbelievable. He's not the GOAT. He is the mutant cyborg. It's just, he makes it look so easy. Like, even watching his pocket movement as guys are around him and then dropping it in the bucket to Brandon Cooks, who, by the way, was getting it done going deep. Deion Lewis had a nice day, but I thought the biggest thing that stood out to me about the Patriots' offense was Brandon Cooks. Man, I bet you they're happy they traded for him, especially after with the Edelman injury. He gives them a chance to still win the Super Bowl this year. I don't know that they would have had that if they didn't trade for Brandon Cooks. It's almost like Belichick could see it coming, that there'd be a chance that Edelman would get hurt. The Raiders just make way, way too many mistakes on offense. And then you've got, it always seems like they're late to get the snap off. The offensive coordinator, man, let's put it this way. He's not going to be the offensive coordinator next year. Maybe they can rehire Musgrave.
Tuck's Takes.
And finally from last night, the Eagles improved to 9-1 after an impressive second half against the Cowboys. 30 unanswered there, 37-9 the final.
They marched on their first drive for a touchdown, and then they just stalled out. I mean, the rest of the first half, you know, Torrey Smith had a drop, Wentz had a couple bad throws, guys weren't open. Even after they were getting interceptions of Dak, they just stalled out. And then they had the kicker get hurt, which wasn't good, but they forced the Cowboys to settle for field goals, which helped. And then the second half, they got the run game really going. It's like they wore down the Cowboys. They had a perfect scheme, by the way. The Cowboys at Marinelli, they're going to always play really hard. They're going to always be getting up the field. Well, that worked right into the Eagles' hands because they ran all kinds of inside traps, inside counters that, you know, David Irving's almost taking himself out of the play going up the field so much. And then Carson Wentz is a magician. I mean, the guy, he made several plays where I thought, how many other guys in the NFL can make that? Rodgers, Russell Wilson, maybe Big Ben. But not many. Not many. It was impressive. And the Eagles' D-line, I mean, especially their depth, they just overwhelmed the Cowboys. The second half, their second-string D-line, Chris Long, Derek Barnett, just overwhelming that Cowboys' offensive line. They just keep coming and coming and coming at you. That'll do it, by the way. We're going to keep coming and coming and coming every day this week because that is what we do. Every single day we'll have the college draft as well as the Power Rankings Tuesday tomorrow. Wednesday we'll have the Even Money as well as Fantasy Feast. And we'll even have shows for you guys on Thursday and Friday. So when you get in the car to go to your mom's house or your grandma's house with your kids, put the Bluetooth on or whatever, hook it up to the phone, throw on the old Ross Tucker Football Podcast. And remember, really easy way to enter for the Madden this week. Really easy. Just buy anything at Amazon through our banner ad over at rostucker.com. It's that simple. Or go to amazon.com/shop/RossTuckerNFL. Forward it to me, ross@rostucker.com, and let me know whether you want it for PS4 or Xbox. I think we're done here.
Thanks.
for listening to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Fantasy Feast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.